The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Revelation chapter 2, verse 28. Revelation 2, 28. It is our custom to spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin the study of the word of God, or that each one might have the privacy of his priesthood, the option of rebound, the opportunity of shifting gears into strict academic discipline. No talking, no unnecessary movement, nothing that would be distracting to those who are serious students of the Word of God. In preparation, let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the portion we study and make it a source of blessing and challenge, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The corrected translation, as far as we have gone, beginning in verse 24, "But I say to the others," that is, believers living inside the divine dynasphere, including the pivot of mature believers, "but I say to the others, those of you who are in Thyatira, as many as do not adhere to this false doctrine, such a category who have not come to know the alleged deep things, hidden things of Satan, on you I place no other burden. Only hold what you have, that is, residence and function in the divine dynasphere, until I come," reference to the rapture. "Furthermore, the winner, even he who keeps my assignments until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations," that is, the Gentile nations of the millennium. "And so he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "will rule them with an iron scepter." Now, due to the problem of Anacaluthin, which I did not explain in any detail last night, the rest of the verse seems to be a little awkward, so I'm going to take the idiom from the Greek, and instead of giving it too much literacy, simply present it in the best possible English idiom. "And so he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "will rule them with an iron scepter, so as clay pots, vessels made of clay, are shattered, so I also have received my authority from my Father." What it is actually, if you simply take out the one word in the idiom that should not be translated, you have something like this: "And so he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "will rule them with an iron scepter." He will shatter them as clay pots. "I also have received my authority from the Father." That is the Anacaluthin. Jesus Christ comes in with the fact that this rod of iron, this shattering of the clay pots, were necessary. We studied it last night as capital punishment in the millennium. This authority comes from the Father. And, of course, this emphasizes the humanity of Christ in ruling the world. As the last Adam, he will rule the last 1,000 years of history. Man was the ruler of this world when it was created, Adam being that man. And, of course, distortion in history began when Adam lost the rulership of this world. And at the present time, a fallen angel by the name of Lucifer, the son of the morning, Satan, rules the world, and therefore the problems and the distortions. Well, that brings us to verse 28, "And I will give him the morning star," which is a little more than that. Yet, first of all, we have a connective conjunction, chi, which introduces a result from the previous verse. And that would be K-A-I, and we are going to translate it "furthermore." Could also be intensive, "in fact." With this, we have the future active indicative of the verb didyme, which is used here for decoration. D-I-D-O-M-I, meaning to give. Sometimes it means to present, and really it means here to decorate. The highest honor, of course, one can receive. Furthermore, I will give. The nomic future tense is for a statement of fact regarding millennial and eternal reward for the mature believer who has historical impact in time. The active voice, Jesus Christ, produces the action at the judgment seat of Christ in anticipation of his rule for the last 1,000 years of history, a rule that begins at the second advent. The indicative mood is declarative for the reality of the decoration, the reality of millennial authority, the reality of this highest of all honors given to a human being. With this, we have the dative indirect object from the intensive pronoun autos, which looks like this in the Greek, A-U-T-O-S, used for the personal pronoun, third masculine singular, referring to mature believers who have maximum historical impact in the church age through their achievement of spiritual maturity. The dative indirect object indicates the mature believer in whose interest the authority and decoration are given, therefore also a dative of advantage. With this, we have the accusative direct object composed of four words. Two other words are the generic use of the definite article, which would be T-O-N in the accusative, ton. We will note how they are used very shortly. With this, of course, we have the reference to the order of the morning star. And it is, of course, the morning star that we are going to be studying in some detail. The problem, of course, with studying the morning star is that it involves so much eschatology, some of which you've had and some of which you have not had. And we will simply stop at this point to review the concept of the order of the morning star, for that is the next item on the agenda, the order of the morning star. Before we get into it, though, for a moment, let's notice again the corrected translation of these three verses. Furthermore, the winner says verse 26. Furthermore, the winner, the mature believer, the believer who advances to maturity, the believer who has the highest possible decoration in this particular sphere of concept. Furthermore, the winner, even he who keeps my assignments until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. That is a reference, of course, to the Gentile nations. I will give him authority over the nations. And with this, of course, we have the function of the order of the morning star in the millennium. And consequently, he will rule them with an iron scepter as clay vessels are shattered, broken in pieces, capital punishment in the millennium. So I also have received authority from my father, the Anacaluthan. Furthermore, I will give to him, that is to the mature believer, and then we should finish up the one concept, the order of the morning star. The rest of the accusative has two words. The accusative singular adjective from prinos doesn't occur very often, and it looks like this. P-R-O-I-N-O-S, prinos. It is an adjective. It is translated morning. And with it, the accusative singular, the noun, and the direct object, auster, from which we get astro, if I may use the expression. A-S-T-E-R. The astros are not doing too well. The auster is doing very well. The morning star. Now, the morning star generally refers to Venus today. It has, of course, greater significance than that in the Bible. The morning star has two meanings in the Bible. First, it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, In Balaam's prophecy regarding Israel, Christ is mentioned under the title of the Morning Star. It is related to his first advent. You remember we noted that prophecy in passing, Numbers 24:17. I see him, Christ, but not now. First advent was still some way off from Balaam. I behold him, but not near. The first advent of Christ was not near at that time. A star shall come forth from Jacob. The first advent of Christ as the morning star. And a scepter, by the way, we know that's a scepter of iron, shall rise from Israel, second advent of the morning star. Christ as the morning star is so described in Revelation 22:16, which says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you for the churches. I am the root. Jesus Christ is God, the one who created the universe. I am the offspring of David, first advent. The bright and morning star, reference to the second advent. Of course, Bible doctrine is tied into this and as Christ the morning star in the famous passage in 2 Peter 1:19-21. This is perhaps the most important of the morning star passages by way of explanation. It starts out by saying, and we keep on having a more reliable prophetic doctrine that is more reliable than the empirical perception that occurred at the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration is the background for this passage. And we keep on having a more reliable prophetic doctrine, with reference to which doctrine you perform honorably by habitually concentrating in your right lobes. And then the word hosts is sometimes used not as a comparative particle, but this is H-O-S, but it is used in what is known as an actual quality conjunction. And when that happens, it is translated on. Concentrating in your right lobes on a lamp shining in a dark place. That's Jesus Christ controlling history. Until the day dawns, second advent, and the morning star, Jesus Christ, has come. Knowing this first, says 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that all prophecy of Scripture, eschatological doctrine, does not originate from one's own explanation. See, that's where the cults come in. They always get into their own explanation, their own eschatology. For prophecy was never produced by the design, the purpose, the will of man, but men communicated from God, being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, all of this has to do with the morning star, as explained in Matthew 2:2, where the star was first seen. You see, in 2 Peter 1:19, the morning star shall come up. And that is a reference, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ coming the second time. But the morning star is Christ coming the first time, like Matthew 2:2, when the wise men said, actually the Magi, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So the word star and morning star are constantly used in connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. The order of the morning star is a special decoration then for mature believers with maximum historical impact. It is given at the judgment seat of Christ. It is it authorizes the recipient to rule with Christ in the millennium. It is the highest of all decorations, which is given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it is our objective now to study once again the order of the morning star. We have to start out, as we did last Sunday morning, with noting that who and what is a winner. The word winner is used at least seven times in Revelation 2:3. Both in time and in eternity, believers fall into two categories, winners and losers. And they're very easy to distinguish one from the other. The winner is the believer who lives, well, I can't even write tonight, huh? All right, I'm very glad it's Friday, too. The winner is the believer who lives his life in the divine dynasphere. Gate 1, the filling of the Spirit. Gate 2, basic impersonal love. Gate 3, enforced and genuine humility, giving him the ability to advance to maturity from perception and application of doctrine. And gate 4. Gate 1 is the spiritual IQ for perception of doctrine. Gate 2 is objectivity. Gate 3 functions as teachability. Then gate 5, the result gates began. Love of God. Gate 6, right man, right woman, where pertinent. Gate 7, friendship. Advanced impersonal love. Gate 8 is maturity. This is the plan of God for the church age believer, the royal family of God. And this is the only dispensation in which the divine dynasphere is operative. The divine dynasphere, the prototype, was invented for the humanity of Christ to sustain him during the incarnation, the first advent. And it is used for the royal family and then never again. The winner is the person who lives and resides, functions inside the divine dynasphere in time, advancing to maturity, being therefore a part of the pivot of the client nation. Now, the loser, on the other hand, is a believer who is going to be in heaven with a resurrection body, and that's about all. The loser is the believer who lives in the cosmic system, Cosmic 1 and Cosmic 2. We have studied them enough detail so that you can distinguish between the winner and the loser. The winners are believers then who live in the divine dynasphere. They learn Bible doctrine. They pass the 8 momentum tests. They advance to maturity. They fulfill the plan of God. They glorify Jesus Christ in time. And they have maximum, though anonymous, historical impact. The losers are believers who live in the cosmic system. They are servants of Satan. They are constantly controlled by their old sin natures, which we call carnality. They are involved in both motivational and functional evil. Losers are Christians who fail in time, but they do not lose their salvation as a result of their failure. They occupy an inferior place in heaven. They have no authority in the millennium. They are as anonymous in the millennium as they are in time. The winners are described by the present active participle of the verb nikao, which looks like this in the Greek. N-I-K-A-O. Now, participles are not always translated like verbs. Many times the ascriptive participle is an adjective, but there is also the participle used as a noun, as we have 7 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2, 7, 11, 17, and 26. Revelation 3, 5, 12, and 21. In each case, the participle is translated like a noun and translated the winner. All historical blessing, all prosperity in the church age results from anonymous, unknown, unnamed believers living inside the divine dynasphere, advancing to spiritual maturity, forming the pivot for the client nation. These mature believers provide blessing by association as well as historical uptrend, and of course their names are generally not found in historical textbooks. They are unknown, anonymous, unsung heroes of history during the church age. They have used the hidden manna of Bible doctrine and other provisions of logistical grace to advance to maturity. And so on the basis of the historical uptrend, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. The winner is the secret to national and historical blessing in this life and in this dispensation. These Christian heroes of history are anonymous today. That has to be emphasized, because some of you right here tonight are anonymous heroes as far as history is concerned. They will be well known, of course, in the future, and that is the objective, to study the fact that they are well known. Furthermore, I will give to him, the mature believer in time, the order of the morning star, the highest possible decoration given to a human being. We noted on Sunday that the winner will be at the rapture. We're not going into the passage again in any detail, but the church age terminates with resurrection. We have studied the rapture before in enough detail for you to recall that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means that sometime during the church age, as represented by this dotted line, the soul has left the body in physical death, and they now occupy an interim body in heaven. Absent from the body being deposited in earth or burned or destroyed or disintegrated, they now have an interim body, absent from the physical body, point X. They are now face to face with the Lord. And this is an interim of fantastic blessing. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. And this is true for the loser as well as the winner. Giving you some concept of the grace of God. Losers and winners have a ball after physical death. They are in the third heaven, and they have an interim body. They are recognizable in the interim body, whatever it is. And there they remain until the resurrection of the church, which could be tonight or 1,000 years from tonight. No one knows. And when the resurrection occurs, the trumpet assembles them in the second heaven. We'll put a little second circle here, circle two, that's the second heavens. This is for physical death up here. And then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them, boom, to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that is the beginning of phase three for all church age believers. Phase three begins for the dead in Christ. Prior to that time, they have the interim blessing. Now, once this occurs, there's the great genuflex in the sky. I guess we can put a genuflexer in here. That looks pretty good. He's not running, he's bowing. We better give him some. The great genuflex in the sky, of course, finds all believers at this point still in their resurrection bodies, all the same. All white pebbles. You remember the analogy. So at this point, everyone at the big genuflex in the sky, no decorations have been given as yet. Now, we don't know how long this lasts, but it's a relatively short time. In the meantime, of course, things are hot down here. This is where the tribulation, Revelation 6 through 18, is going on. In the meantime, things are going to get pretty hot here. In heaven, because we have the judgment seat of Christ next. It is at the judgment seat of Christ that eternal distinctions are established among those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in this dispensation known as the royal family of God. And you remember we studied on Sunday 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all believers, winners and losers. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us, royal family of God, church age believer, may receive what is due him for the things accomplished in the body, whether good, agathos, or evil, worthless, phalos. And again, the winner is described in terms of agathos. The loser is described in terms of the Greek word phalos. That's A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And the loser, phalos, which is worthlessness from evil. Very similar to the true connotation of vanity. Now, this is where the winners and the losers are separated. The judgment seat of Christ, which in the past we have developed extensively. If you can't remember it, it's on tape and we will have occasion to review it again. I like the word agathos used here because it describes so perfectly in relationship with Romans 8:28 the plan of God. We know that all things work together for good. That's X plus Y plus Z equals agathos. Now, that means, of course, you remember, human life imputed after birth plus Adam's original sin equals potential one, the potential for salvation plus the pertinent doctrine, soteriology, equals hope one, absolute confidence that when we believe in Christ, we have eternal life. Plus is salvation adjustment to the justice of God through faith in Christ. So this is, X bracket, is the unbeliever stage of the plan of God. Y bracket is the immature believer. We start out with judicial imputation number one, our sins imputed to Christ on the cross and judged, saving work of Christ. Judicial imputation number two, the only means by which logistical grace can be extended to all believers, the imputation of divine righteousness at salvation, setting up a second potential to replace the first. The second potential is potential for advance to maturity and great blessing in time, reward in eternity. Plus the pertinent doctrine equals the second hope, absolute confidence that when we achieve maturity, we are going to receive above and beyond logistical grace, super grace blessing in six paragraphs. Plus, that's maturity adjustment to the justice of God. That's going from gate four to gate eight. In Z radical, we have the imputation of eternal life at salvation up here, plus the imputation of blessing in time at maturity here, equals the third potential, replacing the second, the potential for great eternal reward, like the morning star decoration. Plus the pertinent doctrine, which we will see a great deal of before we finish with Revelation 2 and 3, equals hope 3, absolute confidence that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ in a resurrection body, we will receive the imputation of eternal blessing and reward above and beyond the resurrection body. And that is called agathos in 2 Corinthians 5:10. X plus Y plus C equals agathos, or all things work together for good. Or as Romans 5:5 puts it, and hope, that's the third hope of Z radical, does not make us ashamed. You see, this hope, hope three right here, does not make us ashamed, and that is at the judgment seat of Christ, implying that losers are ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. So there's one more rough moment for losers before eternity gets well underway. And that is ashamedness at the judgment seat of Christ. As a matter of fact, it is implied and described in 2 Timothy 2:15, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, that is, at the judgment seat of Christ, rightly categorizing the word of truth. Or Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest anticipation, that's hope 3 of Z radical, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, that's at the judgment seat of Christ. But with all confidence, that's the third hope in Z radical, Christ shall, even now as always, at the judgment seat of Christ, eternity, be glorified in my body, whether by life or death. But for losers, we have Philippians 3:18 and 19, which describes them as the enemies of the cross in time, and shame is their glory at the judgment seat of Christ. For many, says Philippians 3:18, cosmic believers, losers, keep walking in the cosmic system, concerning whom I have communicated to you that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's what they are. Losers are still believers, still saved, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ in time. Whose end? Phase two is destruction, sin unto death, maximum punishment. Whose God is their emotion? Like the Holy Rollers, who are completely out of line, a totally evil organization from stem to stern, starboard to port. Whose glory is their shame? At the judgment seat of Christ, they have no glory. They have no uniform of glory. They have only shame. At the present time, we keep thinking about earthly things, and that doesn't mean partying. That means anything that is human viewpoint in contrast to Bible doctrine. So the drama of winners and losers at the judgment seat of Christ is quite a subject and is perhaps emphasized in a very real way to us in connection with our subject in 1 John 2:28, which starts out, "And now, dear children," why call believers children? Because as a believer, you must learn all of your life. That's why believers are called children. When you stop learning, you stop growing, which means for a lot of believers, that started right after salvation. And now, dear children, or we could even say, dear students, for that's what the connotation of children is so often in the epistles. And now, dear children, keep residing in it, the divine dynasphere, that if he, Christ, should appear, the rapture of the church, which will be followed by the judgment seat of Christ, we might have confidence, that is, the winner will have confidence, and might not be put to shame. The losers will be put to shame. Winners have confidence, which we call technically hope 3. Losers are put to shame by him in his presence, that is, at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the two major decorations, one we have just noted in verse 28, there are two major decorations given by our Lord Jesus Christ to mature believers. The first of these decorations we have previously studied in Revelation 2:10, which says, "Keep on becoming faithful until death," that is, departure from phase 2, "and I will give you a crown of life." The crown of life is like the Distinguished Service Cross, the second highest decoration you can receive in the Army, or the Navy Cross if you're Navy or Marines, or for the Air Force Cross. That's the second highest decoration this country gives. And the crown of life is like that. The crown of life is simply faithfulness in sticking inside the divine dynasphere. It doesn't mean you live there every moment, however. Rebound, a daily use of rebound guarantees that you stick there. That plus your positive volition toward doctrine, that plus keeping your priorities straight, doctrine first, pretty much guarantees the fulfillment of this concept. And the crown of life is given first at the judgment seat of Christ to indicate the means by which one attains the highest decoration, the achievement of the Order of the Morning Star. No one will have the Morning Star without having the crown of life. And the crown of life has to do with logging maximum time inside the divine dynasphere. The other decoration, the two go together. If you have one, you have the other. Revelation 2:28, our passage. "Furthermore, I will give to him, the mature believer in time, the order of the Morning Star, the highest decoration for spiritual life on earth, historical impact, the glorification of Christ." The name for this highest decoration to the mature believer with maximum impact in time, the Order of the Morning Star, is derived from the title of our Lord Jesus Christ related to his strategical and tactical victory in the angelic conflict. His strategical victory, the first advent. His tactical victory, the second advent. The tactical victory is when our Lord comes into contact with the enemy and puts him in jail for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ in his two advents is therefore called the Morning Star. "A star shall come forth from Jacob." We have just noted it in Numbers 24:7. The tactical victory of the second advent in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. We keep on having more reliable prophetic doctrine. More reliable than empiricism of Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. With reference to which doctrine you perform honorably the uniform of honor worn by mature believers in time. We have studied the uniform of honor. It's an invisible uniform related to the functions of the soul inside the divine dynasphere. The uniform of honor is invisible, just as the heroes of the church age are anonymous. Which doctrine you perform honorably by habitually concentrating in your right lobes on the lamp shining in the dark place. The lamp in the dark place, Jesus Christ who controls history. Until the day dawns, second advent of Christ. And the morning star has come, second advent. The empirical experience of Peter, first showing of the morning star's uniform of glory, was, of course, the Mount of Transfiguration. Christ is the morning star. The uniform of glory is that robe of translucent light worn by our Lord Jesus Christ over his resurrection body. Of course, this anticipates our study of the uniform of glory in chapter 3, that is Revelation 3. But even before our Lord received his resurrection body, and even before he officially wore the uniform of glory, he modeled it for Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew 16:28, the last verse in Matthew 16, our Lord said, a very short prophecy. By short prophecy, it was fulfilled in 6 days. Truly I say to you, there are some who are standing here, that would be Peter, James, and John, who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That is a reference, a preview of the second advent. And the prophecy was fulfilled in chapter 17, which follows immediately. For example, in Matthew 17, 1 and 2. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the writer of Revelation, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed before them. In fact, his face shone like the sun. The uniform of glory includes a translucence around the face that gives it a beauty and a glory that other resurrection bodies do not possess. There are even differences in beauty in resurrection bodies. And his clothes, now here's the uniform of glory, became white as light, translucent. This introduces the uniform of glory worn by winners forever and ever. First worn at the judgment seat of Christ when the decoration of the order of the morning star is given. Well, that brings us back to our passage, Revelation 2:28. Furthermore, I will give to him, the mature believer at the judgment seat of Christ, the order of the morning star, the highest decoration. The decoration of the morning star includes, well, we will study in more detail. We get to Revelation 3:4, the uniform of glory. Revelation 3:4 puts it this way, and I'm giving you a corrected translation. But you have a few persons in Sardis, a pivot of mature believers living in the divine dynasphere, contributing to the historical uptrend, glorifying the Lord, having historical impact. But you have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. In other words, they're wearing the uniform of honor. See, the losers have soiled clothes living in the cosmic system. These are all soiled, invisible clothes, obviously. So those who do not have soiled clothes wear the uniform of honor in time. In fact, they will walk with me in whites. It's in the plural. It's not in the singular. And it doesn't say white clothing. It just has the adjective white, leukos, in the plural. They will walk with me in whites. And plus the locative plural of leukos, the translucent uniform of glory worn over the resurrection body. Because they are worthy. Worthiness comes from life in the divine dynasphere, the daily perception of Bible doctrine. The decoration includes the presentation in the court of heaven. You see, during the tribulation, losers are not presented in the court of heaven. They're in heaven, but heaven is a gigantic place. Heaven is larger than our entire universe, one times a billion, and then a billion squared, and then a billion to the tenth power. That gives you an idea of how big heaven is. And there's a lot of room up there. And some of you, I predict, are not going to see the court. It's like living in London. You see, they have a lovely, beautiful court in London. And on certain occasions, the court is open and they have presentation. And you're presented to the Queen. You're presented to royalty. But there are a lot of Londoners that have never been invited. And there are going to be a lot of believers in resurrection bodies who will not be invited during this point of time. Only winners are going to be presented in court. Now, living in the United States of America has one drawback. We have no appreciation of the order of chivalry and the beauty of being presented in court. We just simply don't have anything that we can relate to that. So I'll pass it for the moment and take it up again when we get to Revelation 3:5. But the point is, the winners are going to be presented. Thus the winner, says Revelation 3:5, shall be clothed in white garments, the translucent uniform of glory. And I will never blot his name out of the order of chivalry. This is not the book of life for people. This is the book of life for knighthood. He will never have his new knighthood canceled. We've already studied that knighthood, the new name on the white pebble. I will never blot his name out of the book of life. In fact, I will acknowledge presentation of Morning Star winners in the court of heaven during the tribulation. I will acknowledge his name, the new knighthood received at the judgment seat of Christ in the presence of my Father and before his angels. An honor reserved for those who advance to maturity only. Well, let's clarify that new knighthood. The Order of the Morning Star includes a new knighthood, the Order of Chivalry, for the royal family or church age believer, the highest order of chivalry. And this means that forever and ever and ever, when history is closed down after the millennium, believers who advance to maturity today are going to be distinguished in their resurrection bodies from all believers who are losers in time. And how are they going to be distinguished? In the most magnificent way. They will have the highest order of knighthood, the new name which is written on the white pebble. Revelation 2:17, to the winner, the mature believer, decorated with the order of the Morning Star, I will give him blessing from the hidden manna. That's blessing in time. That's super grace blessing. That's the six paragraphs of super grace blessing. And I will give him a white pebble, the ultimate vote of confidence in the resurrection body. But of course, all believers, winners and losers, will have the white pebble. Furthermore, here's the difference. On that pebble, the resurrection body, has been written a new name, the highest title of knighthood, an honor belonging to the holder of the Morning Star, which no one knows except the one who receives it. The winner returns with Christ at the second advent. After being presented to court, and you see all of the Morning Star winners will be presented, and how many they're going to be, but I know that all the presentation will be done in heaven over a period of 7 shortened years, because that's the time of the tribulation on earth. While that's going on, heaven will be filled with the royal family of God, because they will have resurrection bodies, and the Old Testament saints will not have their resurrection bodies as yet. At this point in heaven, the only human beings who have resurrection bodies are the royal family of God, divided, as you recall, into winners and losers. And heaven will be a marvelous place with all of the royal family buzzing around in their resurrection bodies. And there will be vast differences. And the ones who go to court are only those who hold the order of the Morning Star. Now, I don't know whether it's motivation or not. Now, I've spent a lot of time on this subject. As far as I know, it has never been taught since the church age began. Therefore, you have less excuse, and therefore, if you're a loser, you're going to be more ashamed. Of all the people who have less excuse, it is thou. Thou art without excuse. You've run the full gamut of motivation. Now, the second advent, that's a big event. that there are going to be parades like you can't imagine, the last one being the triumphal procession. First, there's a parade through space. And a lot of people are coming back the second advent. Right up in the front of the parade, and what they used to call the 14th Infantry, the right of the line, the place of honor, will be the holders of the decoration called the Morning Star. And then behind them, there will be the ashamed group. I don't know if the resurrection body could blush, but without translucent uniform of glory, maybe it'll blush. We'll see. Then comes, well, out in front will be Moses, the greatest man of the Old Testament, because this is when he gets his resurrection body. Moses and Elijah will lead the Old Testament saints, because the second advent is when the Old Testament saints get their resurrection bodies as Charlie Company. And so it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. However, on those winners of the Morning Star, they will be manifest with him in glory. See, the ashamed crowd are not presented. The Lord doesn't even make them known. After all, they contributed nothing but downtrends to history. So they're going to be there in resurrection bodies to see it. But they are going to be as unknown then as when you watch five divisions pass in review and you know the names of a few people only. They're not going to be known. I hope you're not in that group, but I can't guarantee anything, because you have to decide on the basis of your free will. Self-determination, what you're going to do about these things. So Colossians 3:4 puts it this way. On the occasion when Christ our life shall become manifest, you also, mature believers wearing the Morning Star, the uniform of glory, shall become manifest with him. The anonymous heroes are presented to the population of the world. By name, by rank, by order of chivalry, by knighthood, by the obvious appearance of the uniform of glory, and the magnificent and beautiful order of the Morning Star. And then Operation Footstool, the great coup d'etat, the termination of the Armageddon campaign, the great slaughter, it ends the tribulation, the baptism of fire, when all unbelievers of the tribulation are removed from the earth. Two will be in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. That's not the rapture. That's in Matthew. That the context of that is the second advent. The one who is taken is the unbeliever taken by the baptism of fire. The one who is left is the believer going into the millennium. You see, the believers who survive the tribulation are the cadre, the nucleus for the population explosion of the millennium. And in Operation Footstool, we have described before the triumphal procession and the order and the passages that deal with it. We haven't time to discuss it tonight, but we will eventually repeat in detail and total the doctrine we studied last Sunday morning. And then there's going to be a coronation. And who will be prominent in the coronation? Did you see on television the coronation in England? That great pageantry? Well, who will be in the prominent places? I'll tell you who will be there. Those who have the order of the Morning Star. And at least two people from the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah always get top rating. Because they came back and as the two witnesses in Revelation 11 and had a great TV program and then were martyred. So they got killed finally. They were taken out of the world without dying physically as we die. They were just lifted up. Moses went up in a mountain and no one ever saw him again. Elijah got in a Rolls Royce and went to heaven. I think it was a span of Sweezer, really. And the point is, that they will be their top drawer. They'll always be out in front along with certain others, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob probably will be somewhere between the ashamed group and the group that did make it. Joseph will be top drawer, so will Isaiah and David. There'll be a VIP role for Old Testament saints at the coronation. And then the wedding supper of the Lamb, in which all of you, whether you're winners or losers in time, you will be happy. But there are degrees of happiness in heaven. And let us be extremely happy. That's for the Morning Star winners. And let us celebrate with happiness. That's for the losers. And let us give glory to Him. That's for everyone. Christ, the groom, who has just been crowned the ruler of the world. Satan has been put in prison now for 1,000 years. All of the fallen angels, the demons, have been removed to their prison in Hades. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride, the church, has made herself ready, says Revelation 19:7. We'll study that in great detail at a future time. It does say in Revelation 19:9, happiness belongs to the ones who have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there are three categories. The bride, church age believers, divided into winners and losers, degrees of happiness there. The friends of the groom, the Old Testament saints, and there will be winners and losers there. Moses and Elijah and David and Isaiah and Abraham, winners. Then there will be the friends of the bride, the tribulational believers who are still in their physical bodies and who have great reason to rejoice because they are going to contribute under perfect environment to the greatest population explosion in history. They are going to have a human good time as well as a heavenly good time. So everyone's going to have a ball at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then, of course, the function in the millennium of those who win the Morning Star. This is, again, Revelation 2, 26 through 28, which we have been studying this week. And so the winner, the mature believer, even he who keeps my assignments until the end of his life, phase two, to him I will give authority over the nations. Those who have the order of the Morning Star are going to rule nations. And so he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule them with an iron scepter. Of course, we are under him in delegated authority. It's very important to understand this. In perfect environment of the millennium, 1,000 years, the ruler is human, but perfect. The humanity of Christ is perfect. The humanity of Christ in his resurrection body, plus his uniform of glory. He is perfect. Therefore, he is a perfect ruler. He rules with perfect integrity. And there are a lot of nations. These little balls down here, these little circles, represent Gentile nations. And he delegates authority, rulership. But it has to be those who rule nations in the millennium must be perfect. Now, do you remember the doctrine of sanctification? Positional sanctification is salvation, union with Christ. Experiential sanctification in time, the filling of the Spirit, life in the divine dynasphere. Ultimate sanctification in eternity. So ultimate sanctification comes into the picture here because authority is delegated only to those who are incorruptible. Perfect environment. And so they must have ultimate sanctification, which is a resurrection body. But they must have more than that. They must have with their ultimate sanctification the uniform of glory. And the uniform of glory only belongs to those who win the order of the Morning Star. So they will also wear the order of the Morning Star. And these are the people, the believers who are anonymous now, but who are going to be the most famous rulers in history. For during this 1,000 years, there will be perfect rule on the earth by incorruptible rulers wearing the order of the Morning Star in resurrection bodies. They cannot sin. They cannot be unfair. They cannot be unjust. That is why the tribulation gives time to prepare, to delegate to authority, present in court those who will rule in the last 1,000 years of history. And I trust that will include many of you, and I would hope all of you who are here this evening. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying these things. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us so that we might grow in grace, so that we might fulfill the very purpose for which we are sustained by logistical grace in time, and that we might keep our priorities straight, and that Bible doctrine might have number one slot in our lives, so that in all eternity, in the last 1,000 years of history, in time, we might receive blessing from the hidden manna and fulfill everything that we have studied tonight and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. We ask it in His name. Amen.